Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the program on another Sunday. Hope everyone is still remaining safe out there. Sun Guy and QT with you here. And today it is our 6 feet five and over show. All our guests here, at least 6 feet 5 inches tall. And as people know, going way back to the start of pro wrestling, we have seen some very, very tall men enter this business and have great success. And I want to welcome some of the men that are in the business or recently in the business that stand at that height. We have with us Congo Kong, Stompin' Steve, and Paxton Calloway. Gentlemen, welcome to the business. And my first question for each of you, I'm going to ask you, what are some of the advantages and the disadvantages that you've found coming into pro wrestling, being the height that you are? And I'll go in order of years in the business. So, Congo Kong, that will go to you first.
I would say a big disadvantage for me was getting in and being told that I can't do the stuff that the little guys can do, or I'm not supposed to be able to do the stuff that the little guys can do. And just kind of, I guess, making it an advantage and proving them wrong and trying to excel in a different route than the typical big man.
I guarantee that you can do a whole lot of things that the smaller cruiserweights can do. I've seen it. Now, Stompin' Steve, what about you? What have you found are some of the advantages and the disadvantages that you had being that you're 6 feet seven?
All disadvantages, like the ropes being too low, although that can be an advantage too. I mean, it's not like I'm whipped off the ropes that often. Really, I've been away from the rings for a while, so it's like a little bit to think about. So.
Now, Paxton Calloway, you are 7 feet tall. You're the tallest one on the show today. I'm sure you found some advantages and some disadvantages to that. What would they be?
I would say one advantage to being as big as I am is that I find a lot of little guys, like littler workers, like to work with me just because they have someone that they know can, you know, do some things that they wouldn't normally be able to do, like they wouldn't trust another worker to catch them with. Disadvantage, I would say, it would be kind of along the lines that Steve Congo said. I've been told from the beginning that I shouldn't be doing the things that, you know, the cruiserweights do. I shouldn't be coming off the top. I shouldn't be trying to do dives. And I'm like, watch me.
Absolutely. Now, in the history of wrestling, like I said, we've seen a lot of wrestlers come into the business that have been very tall. You have guys like Haystacks Calhoun, El Gigante, Barry Windham, Andre the Giant, all well over 6 feet five. some of them well over 7 feet tall. If you could have the ability to wrestle anyone from any period that was over 6 feet five, Hongo Kong, who would that opponent be for you?
Andre, easily. Like, that is one of my dream matches. Obviously, Andre, before he got to the point where he really could move. But, like, yeah, I've always wanted to be Hulk Hogan in that scenario, you know what I'm saying, and take down the giant. So, yeah, Andre would definitely be that guy.
Stompin' Steve, what about you? Who's the dream opponent for you that was at least 6'5"?
I would say, I mean, it's kind of Marcus, the Undertaker, probably. I knew I mean, he could, one could say, carry me in a way.
I can definitely see that. That's a pretty solid choice right there. Paxton Callaway, what about you?
He kind of took my answer. I was going to say Undertaker as well, just because of the things that you can do in the ring, being a 6'8" guy. It's just amazing seeing how he can work and just the quality of matches he would put in and year out. And some might argue against his later years here, but I still think he's doing it just as good as a lot of people in the business right now.
Most definitely so. Now, obviously, all three of you generally are going to be some of the tallest guys in a locker room, but I'm sure each of you's had the moment where you've come in to contact someone that is either taller than you or they're closer to height than most people that you come into contact with. Kongo Kong, who would be the tallest opponent that you've had?
That would be Paxton Callaway.
Hey, would. How's it going?
Very, very ironic. All right.
Yeah, I'm a baby giant compared to these guys. I'm only 6'6", and you know I tower over most people in the locker room. But then I met Paxton, and I like, holy hell, what is going on right now?
I might have had the hype, but you had a lot of way more experience and way more talent at this point in that match. Let me assure you there.
But together we made magic, didn't we?
Yeah, I would say so. It was a fun exactly. Match. I would love to do it again.
Yep. With more feeling room, the promoter didn't think about that when he decided to book the match.
Stomp and Steve, how about you? Who is your tallest opponent that you faced in the ring?
I believe it was Kongo. It was we had our little run-in at the Battle Royal back about, oh my gosh, it's probably been 7 years ago, I believe, around the Halloween time show at New Era.
Yeah, New Era, yep.
Yeah, it's a small world in this business.
It is. he dropped me with a Death Valley driver and got me out of there.
I'm guessing it's probably one of the very few Death Valley drivers that you ever had happen to you.
Yes, the only one.
Paxton, what about you? Who is the tallest opponent? I'm guessing you haven't come across someone taller than you yet.
Yeah, as of now, I haven't come across anyone that's taller than me, even really close, and that's not really to brag or anything. It's just you don't see a lot of giants on the indie scene. As far as tallest would be, I'd probably have to go with either I haven't wrestled him personally, but Madman Fulton, he's probably, I think he's like 6'8", something like that. Other than that, yeah, Kongo.
Keeping it in-house, I like that.
I'm not trying to, it's just what my experience is right now.
Well, yeah, I definitely understand that. You're right, there's not a lot of people on the independents that are going to be close to your height for sure. On the flip side of that, I know on the independents we have a lot of guys that are on the shorter size, and I'm sure you've all faced guys that have been nowhere close to your height. Kongo Kong, who would be the shortest opponent that you've had?
Hornswoggle.
All right. Stomp and Steve, what about you? Who was your shortest opponent?
Just in any kind of match, or maybe Bobby Black.
Okay, yeah, I can definitely see that. I believe I was in that match as well.
Yeah, you were.
Paxton, what about you? Who's been the shortest opponent that you've had to face?
The shortest opponent I've had in my career so far, I would have to say, is Buddy the Bulldog Wilson. Had a little run-in with him at it was actually supposed to be the world's largest battle royal down in West Virginia, but I don't think Guinness ever proved it. But yeah, that was there was a match later on in the card after that that kind of pit a bunch of super heavyweights and unfortunately Buddy in the same match together. Unfortunately for him, because he was surrounded by just a lot of meat in that match. It was.
One of the things that a lot of guys, especially on the independents, come across is promoters that don't necessarily know what to do with people that are very tall. And you see a lot of promoters that just don't really know how to book a big guy, and so they kind of get lost in the shuffle a little bit or misused on the cards and don't really get the full potential that they would have on the independents and some of the promotions. Kongo Kong, I'm sure you've come across this in your career. What do you think it is that promoters don't always know how to book guys that are so tall?
I don't know. It happens not just in independents. It happens on television as well. I would say not really understanding that you always need that guy who is a threat to everyone on the roster. Whether he's champion or not, he always needs to be the guy to be beat in order for that next guy to advance to that championship picture. So if I'm that guy, if I'm like, let's say it's a Kane, you know, that's how WWE used Kane. Kane was the champion very many times. Kane was often the guy that somebody had to go through in order to get to the championship match. So in between those matches where Kane has to put those guys over, you have to keep Kane strong, and Kane has to keep destroying people, you know what I mean, until he gets to somebody who's getting ready to get the rub off of. If you just let them keep getting beat once you beat them, then it doesn't mean anything anymore. And sometimes, yeah, you're right. They can get lost in the rush. And, you know, once all your top guys have beat that big guy, then it no longer means, anything.
Stomp and Steve, I know you were generally the tallest guy in the promotions where you worked. What do you think it is that a lot of people just didn't know how to book a guy of your size, or just didn't really understand what they had with a guy your size?
Well, from my point of view, I can't really talk much because I haven't had the experience or the work rate as the other people on this panel here. And they're immensely more talented than I am. So from my perspective, I kind of have a limited perspective on that.
All right. Now, Paxton, what about you? I'm sure you've gone to places and promoters just don't fully know what to do with a guy that is 7 feet tall.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. You would think it's something so simple as keeping your giant monster strong, but sometimes you just don't they just don't get it. As far as the way I approach that kind of situation, though, whatever I'm asked to do when I go to promotion, I try to make it as entertaining as possible, because at the end of the day, that's what my job is.
Now, we also know that oftentimes the tallest guy in the locker room is going to be the guy that goes out and they do all the battle royals and all the kind of bodyguard type of spots and things like that, just because it's tradition almost that the tall guys generally win a lot of battle royals. Going back to Andre, they often do the bodyguard work because they can look menacing with the smaller heel boss type of thing. Kongo Kong, I know you've been in a lot of battle royals. I've been in one or two with you, and I'm not sure if you've done the bodyguard work, but do you find, especially early on in your career, that's where a lot of people saw you being one of the tallest guys on the roster?
Yeah, I was the heater, as they call it, a couple of times to a couple of different people. And, I mean, it's cool, you know, but like Diesel was for Shawn Michaels, eventually he had to come out of that shadow. And so, you know, thank God things happened the way they did, and I didn't have to be just thought of as somebody's heavy.
Oh, Stump and Steve, I know you've been in battle royals as well, and I know you on occasion would go out and be kind of a second or a bodyguard type to some people. Do you kind of enjoy that role, or did you think that maybe there is more for you to do than that type of thing?
I enjoyed it pretty well. Being a bodyguard is fine and all that. Like I said, I'm pretty happy to be on a show when I can be on one, and even though it's been a few years. So, bodyguard, battle royal, whatever, I'm happy to be involved. Although I've been out stepped away from the business the last few years.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Yeah.
Paxton, what about you? I'm sure you get a lot of battle royals, and I don't know if you've bodyguarded, but that would be something that I'm sure some promoters would see you as, that type of gimmick in wrestling. Have you come across a lot of that?
I can't tell you how many times I have had 10-plus people throw me out of a battle royal. As far as bodyguard work goes, I don't mind doing it. It gets the eyes on me. But, of course, especially being a young guy, I want to be having matches. I want to be getting those reps in so I can get better at my craft instead of just doing the bodyguard stuff.
Most definitely. We know that oftentimes people, once they get to be over 6'4", 6'5", they tend to get a lot more injuries as far as like knee problems, the back, things like that. Usually the taller you are, the more the joints tend to suffer. Basketball and wrestling, see a lot of the athletes have knee problems because of the added height. Kongo, and your career, I know you've had an injury or two in the time you've been in there. Do you find that the height, as far as injuries go, is a disadvantage, or do you think it's something that not really height affected, it's just more the nature of the business?
I think it's the nature of the business. I think where the advantage comes in is that being the bigger guy, you know, nine times out of ten in those matches, I don't have to do very much moving. So, like, when I broke my tailbone or busted collarbone or broken hand or anything like that, I didn't have to do a whole leap of things, of moves in the match. You know, I kind of stand in the middle and let the guys bump around me and hide the injury and, you know, really make it so that nobody really knows I'm even hurt while I'm doing it.
That's an art form, isn't it?
Absolutely it is.
Stomp and Steve, what about you? Did you find your height kind of added to wear and tear, or did you think that was just more the nature of the wrestling business as much as anything?
Yeah, I think it's the nature of the business. And, I mean, I didn't keep my – when I was – back when I was trying to work, I didn't keep myself in the greatest shape that I should have kept, although I was in better shape than I once was. And also things we tend to have – like I had, just for example – Big John Wall, back in, I believe it was 2014, he did a Vader bomb on me, and this is my fault. I had my, and of course this may not be relevant exactly, but like I had, the bigger things are done. They want to do a big move on a big guy. Of course they want to do a big move on a small guy too, but like just hand positioning and thing, where to put things, like I got mallet finger off that because I had my hand mispositioned and he came down on it, which wasn't his fault per se. It was mine. So I really think it's just the nature of the business, though.
Paxton, I know you haven't been in as long, but do you think that being as tall as you are, it's kind of going to take a little bit more toll on you just because of the height, or do you think that injuries are just going to be from the nature of the wrestling as opposed to being 7 feet tall or being 6 feet tall?
Thus far in my career, I've been very fortunate, knock on wood, to avoid any major injuries. I think it's a combination of there can definitely be a combination of being as large as I am and the nature of the business. Going back to Andre as the example, just for all the years that he was in the business, and by the time he was winding down, like he was so broken down, and he could, you know, barely work a match. So yeah, I think. It's a combination of being large and the toll the business takes on you.
Now, being taller guys in a business, I'm sure that, like you guys were saying earlier, sometimes people on both sides of the curtain have a specific expectation of how you're going to work, and oftentimes you don't work in that way necessarily. Congo Kong, a very perfect example, because he can move like a cruiserweight in a super heavyweight's body. What would you say, Congo Kong, is the most surprising thing in your arsenal that fans and maybe people in the locker room don't expect you to do at a guy of your size?
Of course, you know, moonsault is like one of the main ones that people go crazy over, but you know, as time has gone on, you see more and more big guys able to do a moonsault. Well, in certain situations, you know, when a guy's tall enough and he can lift me up, you can do a hurricanranas. And, you know, on occasion, excuse me, when I'm with Shane Mercer, you might see a flying head scissors.
I believe I've seen that in the Shane Mercer match from you, yeah. Stump and Steve, what about you? What move did you use to pull off that surprise people coming from a guy your size?
I thought I can't think of anything really, to be quite honest. I'm sure like somebody like Jim Cornette, if he even knew who I was, would have some funny things to say about how I move in the ring. Like some say Frankenstein, which I dressed as one time for the Halloween show.
I remember that.
Show me.
Paxton Callaway, what about you? I know you talked about doing the dives and things like that, but what would you say is the most surprising move in your arsenal that you wouldn't necessarily expect out of a guy of your size?
Well, like you said, I've been trying to incorporate some dives. I've only broken it out once, but I've worked in a top over the top rope dive, like the Undertaker does. Other than that, I'm pretty fond of dropping a Macho Man elbow every now and then.
Very nice.
Yeah, you know, bringing back the classic.
Exactly. And we also know that a lot of times the smaller guys will try to compensate for being smaller by throwing harder. And I've seen a lot of smaller guys go after the bigger guys and just really lay it in, trying to make up for that lack of size that they have. Now, Kongo Kong, do you often see where a smaller opponent is actually harder to work with than someone that is closer to your size?
I wouldn't say harder to work with, but sometimes you have to slow them down. Like, they'll throw a couple live rounds, and you're like, whoa, lighten up, you know. And then usually by the third time, that's when I'm like, all right, I'm sending the message back. You're hitting me too hard. And so, you know, I'll throw one back, and then they'll get it, and they'll be like, oh, shoot, I'm sorry. And then you go on about your business, and usually everything's pretty good. Or, you know, sometimes there's guys who just thought, you know, that you need to be rough and aggressive in this business, which, you know, I can completely understand, as long as it's not hurting anybody. And so then the match just turns into a slugfest.
Stomp and Steve, what about you? Did you find that the smaller opponents were sometimes the ones that were throwing the livest rounds?
I can't say I can remember any of that. Like I said, Bobby Black was pretty tough, but I can't remember too many, you know, that were any worse than one than another, you know, as far as laying it in.
What about you, Paxton? Do you find, like, the smaller the guy, the harder they try to fight you and start throwing the potatoes?
No, not really, actually. In my experience, smaller guys have usually been less easy to work with. They usually want to do more of the high-flying cruiserweight stuff. It's generally been some of the guys that are, you know, larger that want to go blow for blow, just to kind of put on that big hoss match kind of feel. And I'm usually game for that.
I'm sure like pretty much every company, it's going to vary, but ring sizes and the height of the ring is really variant on the independent circuit. Being so tall, do you ever find that the ring itself kind of hampers what you can do just because it's either shorter than you're used to working, or it's either taller so it puts you closer to the ceiling and cuts you off for certain things, or maybe the opposite is true? Kong, you run into that quite a bit?
Not so much anymore, but when I was working for JCW quite a bit, they had a 14-foot ring. And so, like, I could never do anything where I ended up laying down because my opponent would then be in the ropes. So I couldn't suplex anybody or you know, anything like that. It was rough, you know, because you go to jump across it and you're jumping, I would say, 4/5 of the way across the ring, and you run the risk of running into the opposite turnbuckle, you know, with anything you do.
Stompin' Steve, did you ever run into the problem of the size or the height of the ring hampering what you could do?
Sometimes there's rings that have the ropes are a little bit higher. I mean, they're not usually not too high, but you know, I usually when I would enter the ring, I would step over the top rope, you know, and occasionally you'd run across a ring that the top rope was a little bit higher or a little bit tighter than you're used to, so.
And it would be a little bit more difficult, but other than that, that's all I can, what comes to mind.
You didn't caught yourself on top ropes often, did you?
No.
Okay. Paxton, how about you? Do you ever find that either the size of the ring or the height of the ring impacts a lot you're able to do?
Generally speaking, I haven't really found that the size of the ring is really the issue. Like you say, your typical 16x16, most everything that I want to accomplish during a match I can pull off. It's generally the placement of said ring, if you know what I mean. Like some of your independent shows, you'll be in like a VFW where the roof is 10 feet off the ground and your ring is 7 feet off the ground, so being a bigger guy, you can't pick someone up for a suplex or anything like that. When I had my tryout for the WWE, there are 20, and I hate bringing that up, but this is, it kind of ties into this. Their 20 by 20 foot ring, it's kind of funny, when we hit the ropes on those, I found myself taking two or three extra steps, and I found myself getting gassed a lot easier running the ropes on that. So that was something kind of funny that I thought of.
I can see that being a major difference when you're used to a 16-foot ring.
Yeah, you wouldn't think an extra 4 feet would make a big difference, but it sure does.
Oh, I'm sure of that. Absolutely. Well, at this point, my co-host QT is standing by, and I'm sure QT has questions, so I'm going to pass things along to him.
Well, thank you, Tony. I admired that you stuck it out and went to Spokane yesterday, despite being in that traffic jam once you hit east of Snoqualmie Pass. I myself was a casualty, and I could not make it, but I made it as far as Ellensburg, and I had some deep-fried cauliflower.
Absolutely. You missed a great show, QT.
Can you tell Paxton Callaway the flash results of legendary Larry D? Can you tell him a flash result?
Larry D was in a triple threat, and Lumberjack won that match and the Northwest Pro Championship.
Oh, okay. I now my day has turned slightly darker because I'm not much of a fan of Lumberjack. Yes. A dark cloud just appeared. Okay.
All right. Well, Mr.
Mr. Calloway, although he was not a wrestler, Randy Quaid is a famous actor who is listed as 6'5", and in 1985 and 1986, he was involved in the movie series Christmas Vacation and Vegas and Vacation with Chevy Chase. Were you a big fan of Vegas Vacation? Who, Randy Quaid, probably the tallest actor? That's what I'm getting at.
I more or less enjoy all the vacation films. But yeah, Vegas Vacation's fun.
Okay.
I didn't know Randy Quaid was 6'5", but he sure seemed much taller than most of the cast.
Well, I am on a website at the moment that says he is listed at 6'5". Is it true, Mr. Calloway, that one of your favorite scenes in cinematic history was when Randy Quaid was emptying the septic tank truck into the sewer, much to the dismay of Chevy Chase, who was looking out the window?
I don't know if I would call that one of my favorite cinematic scenes ever, but I would call it enjoyable.
Oh, okay. Yes, he looked at a neighbor who came out of the house and was about to go jogging, and he said, "Shitter's full." That was one of my favorites.
Okay, yeah. Now that you're jogging my memory, I do like that scene a lot.
Yes. Okay. Well, Congo Kong, Randy Orton is also listed as 6'5", although I don't really see that when I watch his WWE films, although on this website he says 6'5". Were you a big fan of the Viper?
Oh, looks like we lost Congo Kong.
Oh, okay. He'll probably come back in. Stompin' Steve, did you know that Randy Orton was 6'5" and he was?
I met him.
Oh, you did? Where did you meet
him? I have a picture with him. I have to share it to you. I'm just a slight bit taller than him. I mean, just very slight. So I believe it.
Wow.
I'll have to share it on your Facebook.
That would be great if you could send a picture. Is it autographed?
No, we just had a picture taken at a comic convention about 6 or 7 years ago or so.
Oh, was it a Comic-Con? Comic-Con?
Yeah, it was Wizard World Comic-Con, yeah, I believe.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Stompin' Steve, did you know that he at one point enlisted in the Marine Corps?
Yes, I knew that.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
And it looks like we got Congo Kong back.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Very good. Okay. Congo Kong, I'm going to ask you a question I just asked Stompin' Steve. Randy Orton is listed as 6'5". Were you a big fan of the Viper and still are a big fan of the Viper?
Yeah. Actually, I like the way he does things. I like his psychology and the way he approaches his matches. And, I think it's different than what you see a lot of people doing these days.
Okay. Now, Stompin' Steve just said that he met Randy Orton at a Comic-Con convention. Have you yourself, Congo Kong, met Randy Orton in person?
I have not. Not yet, anyway.
Oh, okay. Did you know that he enlisted in the Marine Corps?
Nope, I did not know that. That's admirable.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's why he's such a river.
That's why what?
He's such a river.
Oh, okay. Yes. I'm not sure what he did in the Marine Corps, what his rate was, but I guess I'll have to do some research into that. But, yes, you know, Congo Kong, another person, a celebrity that was in the military, but he was in the Army, was Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead before he made it big in the Grateful Dead. Did you know that?
No, I had no clue.
Yes. He didn't do very well, I think he was stationed, of all places, in San Francisco at the Presidio. And after he made it through boot camp and was stationed there, he just never showed up for work. He just never bothered to get up from his bunk and stuff. And so he just kind of treated it as a vacation, and they eventually kicked him out. Yes. Oh, okay. Well, Stompin' Steve, another wrestler who is listed at 6'5" is The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. And there again, he does not look like 6'5" on TV. However, that probably has to do with the camera angles. My question is, have you yourself ever done the people's eyebrow at HPW?
No, I can't do that kind of eyebrow. But I've done other looks.
Have you ever had one of those, cosmetology pencils to thicken your eyebrows at HPW at any time? Like on that Halloween show, you thicken your eyebrows?
No, I haven't. I have not.
Okay. Well, Stompin' Steve, as you know, one of the Rock's most notable nemesis in WWE was the Hurricane. Did anyone tell you that your run-ins with Darth Carta reminded them of the Rock versus Hurricane? Did any fan at HBW tell you that?
No. I can't remember if Darth Carta tried to choke slam me or anything. Well, that's what he used to do with Kane. That's who the Hurricane used to try that with Kane.
Well, do you see my comparisons of Darth Carta with the Hurricane? They're kind of okay. Well, Mr. Calloway. Oh, all right. Well, Mr. Calloway, were you a big fan of the Rock's movie Scorpion King?
I actually have it on VHS, and I watched a lot as a kid. Maybe not so much today. I would be a big fan of it, but definitely when I was a kid, I had the movie on VHS. I had they made a game for if they're gonna blow their minds. I had a Game Boy Advance. It was for a Scorpion King game, and that's actually pretty funny that you asked that.
Okay, well, Mr. Calloway, in the movie Scorpion King, also appearing in that movie, and he is listed at 6'5", was the actor Michael Clark Duncan, whose most famous role was John Coffey, the convicted prisoner who was executed in the Green Mile. Were you also a big fan of Michael Clark Duncan?
I am a big fan of Michael Clark Duncan. I saw, I remember him being in The Green Mile. I remember him being in The Scorpion King. Man, what else was he in? I've seen him in a lot.
Armageddon.
Deep voice Armageddon, yeah. He was in that. He just has that deep voice and that presence that you like to see other actors.
Okay, Congo Kong, same question. Were you a big fan of John Coffey in the movie Green Mile with Tom Hanks?
Huge, man. I can watch that movie over and over and over again.
How much money would you pay to be on the original set and walk the green tiles of the Green Mile? They were green tiles, yes. How much money would you pay? $5?
Sure. I mean, yeah, that'd be about it, because otherwise I'm looking to get paid.
Oh, okay. Paxton Calloway, there was also a mouse in the movie The Green Mile. I believe his name was Mr. Jangles. Have you ever had a pet mouse like Mr. Jangles in The Green Mile, who was not 6'5"?
I don't believe I've ever had did you say pet mouse?
Yes, a pet mouse.
I don't believe I've ever had a pet mouse. Probably because my parents would have been scared to death of them giving me some kind of disease as a kid. So.
Okay. All right. Now, I know that a kangaroo is slightly similar to the mouse family. I'm not sure how tall kangaroos are, but I doubt that there's very many of them that are 6 foot five. My question is, were you a big fan of the kangaroos were in the territory of Portland for Don Owens, the kangaroos that usually carried around boomerangs? That's a question. I mean, they were the kangaroos, the tag team. That I was wondering if you were a big fan of them.
Don't worry, I was confused too back.
I honestly did not know he was asking me that question, so I apologize. I can honestly say I've never heard of the kangaroos, unfortunately.
Well, okay. All right, I'll try to send you some information on them, the kangaroos.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do some research on that.
They were named Lord Jonathan Boyd and Cousin Luke. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Congo Kong, Michael Clark Douglas, Duncan, also had a bit part in Married with Children. He was kind of trying to line up a match for King Kong Bundy, who was also in several episodes of Married with Children. King Kong Bundy had an opponent who ducked out on him and wouldn't show up, and Bud Bundy, the bumblebee, was substituted at the last moment. Did you see this iconic moment in WWE folklore in comedy when King Kong Bundy and Michael Clark Duncan were on Married with Children? That's what I'm asking.
I guess I would have had to seen it. Married with Children was on when I was a kid, and I'm 40. And, I don't remember stuff I did 2 weeks ago, so I would have a hard time honestly answering.
Okay. Paxton Callaway, did you see the iconic moment when Bud Bundy flew off the ropes and gave King Kong Bundy a bumblebee stinger?
Well, I'm 14 years younger than Congo, so that would be probably even less prominent in my mind at this point. So, unfortunately, I don't know how honestly I can answer that question.
All right. Well, Paxton Callaway, I am giving you the homework assignment to look up Bud Bundy versus King Kong Bundy in the wrestling ring.
I will look that up and get right back to you once we're done here.
Oh, and the flash results of your video viewing would be appreciated. Maybe you could send your opinions to Sign Guy. Yes.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying, Paxton Callaway, that at one point, King Kong Bundy tries to rip off Bud Bundy's stinger.
All right, now you're talking my language. Gratuitous violence in a comedy show? This is now piquing my interest.
Yes. Oh, well, it's huge. It's one of my favorite Married with Children moments. Yes. Okay. Well, let's see. Paxton, do you know that Michael Clark Duncan also made an appearance on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Were you a big fan of The Prince of Bel-Air? That's what I'm asking.
Man, when I was a kid, every night after school on Nick at Night, I was definitely watching Fresh Prince.
Okay. All right. Chicago Bears football player Dick Butkus was listed at 6 foot four, under our 6 foot five requirement for the show. However, I think he could have done very well in the wrestling ring. Although he retired back in 1972 or 73, did you ever have a chance to meet Dick Butkus, maybe at a Comic-Con?
I didn't. No, but I know who you're talking about for sure.
Yes. He had some knee problems, and he also still has them. Okay. All right.
Well, Congo Kong,
he would have the personality for. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, that's fine. You were saying about his personality.
I definitely think he would have the personality to at least do something in the wrestling world.
Wow. What if he could travel in time, back in time? Do you think a Dick Butkus versus the A-Train would have been a good matchup? The A-Train.
A good matchup? I don't know if that would be the case. He would have to get him trained up and whatnot, but it would certainly be interesting to watch.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Calloway, how about Dick Butkus in the ring? If he could have been substituted for Stone Cold Steve Austin when President Trump was in the ring, do you think Dick Butkus could have stared down Stone Cold Steve Austin and said, "Hey, you're in my ring now. These are my rules. You're looking kind of stiff there. I hear you're a billionaire." Do you think Dick Butkus would have done very good with that?
I think that was definitely more in Steve Austin's realm. Just the smack talking to future president of the United States.
Okay. All right. How do you think a Dick Butkus versus Kurt Angle matchup would have been? Especially if Dick Butkus could travel back in time and be there when Kurt Angle came down to the ring in the milk truck. Do you think that would have been a good moment?
Well, Dick Butkus has, I believe, a very prominent mustache. So when Kurt Angle came down with the milk truck, it would have gave him an even more prominent milk mustache, I'm sure.
No, okay. Well, Congo Kong, Portland Trailblazer Bill Walton was listed at 6'11". How well do you think he would have done in a Hell in a Cell match with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, keeping in mind that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has appeared on about 2 episodes of The Big Bang Theory?
Are they trained in wrestling?
No, I don't think so. Although Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has studied like karate and was in a movie called It with Bruce Lee.
No, it would be terrible.
Oh, okay. Have you yourself seen the movie where, I think it was Enter the Dragon, where Kareem Abdul-Jabbar battled Bruce Lee?
No, I don't think I have. Or if I did, again, I would probably like 5 or 6.
Don't
remember much of it.
Oh, okay. Well, your homework assignment also is to look up Kareem Abdul-Jabbar battles Bruce Lee.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right. And Stump and Steve, this is a little known fact. And although Bruce Lee was not 6'5", he was once in a movie before he got famous to make ends meet. It was an X-rated movie in a prison setting called Enter the Fist.
I wouldn't know.
Well, all right, I just made that up.
Okay.
Well, guys, we got a few minutes left on the show. I want to make sure you guys get a chance to say anything you would like, plug anything you would like. So, Congo Kong, anything you want to say, plug or promote, social medias, merch, anything at all, go for it.
If you're in the Midwest and you're looking for a place to train, Congo Kong or Professor Kong's Wrestling Academy is open for business. Get a hold of me and let me know. I have been training for roughly 10 years now. I think my oldest student is definitely approaching 10 years in the business. If you want to just hit me up, shoot me a message at Steve Olson on Facebook or Congo Kong or on Twitter at Real Congo Kong or on Instagram at Congo Cyrus 78.
Tom from Steve, anything you want to say, plug or promote?
Not a whole lot. My Twitter is Stompin' Steve B. And just, you know, I haven't been in the ring in about 5 years, and I mean, I may make an appearance here and there, but I don't know when yet. So we'll have to see when the shows start back up and see what goes on.
All right. Paxton Callaway.
Ohio, in the state of Ohio, you're looking for wrestling when the pandemic's over. Mega Championship Wrestling in Elyria is where I call myself call home. Other than that, you can find me on Twitter at Paxton Callaway, all one word. On Instagram at Paxton Callaway, same deal. On Facebook, Paxton Callaway. If you want to see some of me wrestle, I'm on. There are some of my matches on YouTube. You can look me up. Other than that, that's all I got.
All right. Well, guys, it has been a pleasure having you back on the show today. I want to thank you for your time today. We appreciate it greatly. Hopefully I'll be seeing all of you relatively soon. And all the fans out there, definitely go buy yourself a ticket if any of these guys are going to show up at a show near you. Pick up some merchandise. Support your local independents whenever it is safe to do so. And we will be back with you here next week. So make plans to join us, and we will talk to you soon.